Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. On Piano Jazz, over the years, we've often pushed the boundaries of jazz by featuring a wide variety of guest artists from outside the traditional jazz scene. And today's guest falls into that category, guitarist Nils Klein. I'm thrilled to have my good friend John Weber sit in the host chair and talk with him. So let's listen.
Hi, I'm John Weber. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Nils Klein, one of the most exciting original guitarists working anywhere. He's widely known for his work with the critically acclaimed alternative rock band Wilco, and he's been playing freeform jazz and experimenting with sound textures since the 1970s. He's brought along his band, the Nils Klein Singers, and I'm thrilled to welcome the whole crew to Piano Jazz.
Thank you, John. It's lovely to be here.
I think Piano Jazz listeners and Wilco fans alike may be astonished to discover that a guitarist of your stature in the rock world has accumulated such an impressive resume in the jazz world as well.
Well, I don't know how impressive it is, but I am advanced in years to a certain extent, so I've accumulated some experiences. And I still do get to work with some really, really fine improvisers, and I treasure these experiences as well as what I'm doing with Wilco. It's very enjoyable. I started playing when I was about 11, but I was terrible and not all that serious until I heard some pretty serious music, Indian classical music, John Coltrane, Miles Davis, and progressive rock back then sort of inspired me to try to learn. So I tried to learn some things and ended up playing with some really pretty incredible people. I'm not quite sure how it happened.
What I love is I would bet that there's at least one Wilco fan out there who is listening to you right now saying, you know, I'm gonna listen to somebody he recommended. Nels recommended him. Who's this? John Coltrane. Let me download some of that. Somebody's life's going to be turned around because they heard you on this show, I promise. That's a conservative estimate. At least probably hundreds, if not thousands, of your fans are going to be checking you out and saying, hey, man.
I think a lot of people have heard John Coltrane by now. Maybe not some of the later work that I actually really like as much as anything. But certainly for me and my brother, sitting down in our friend's apartment in West L.A. in front of their portable hi-fi, I might call it at that point, and hearing Africa was pretty much the beginning of a journey that neither of us could have predicted. It was so mysterious and inspiring, and we just didn't even know how to process it, except that it was galvanizing, and we knew that everything had changed. My brother is listening to a lot of Frank Zappa already at this point for years, nonetheless had a profound impact. I don't know.
You know, and I gotta tell you, you have accumulated such an impressive resume in the jazz world, as I described. And I think some of the fans of the tremendously popular band Wilco, with whom you've recorded and toured since 2004, will be pleasantly surprised today. Hearing your tremendous versatility and virtuosity and fluency in many different genres that perhaps they haven't heard you play before. So to me, you've accomplished some really truly remarkable work.
Wow. Well, thanks.
I've been looking you up. I've been listening to you for a while, and in the decades leading up to joining Wilco, I'm going to ask you about some of those ensembles today and your musical adventures with them. And I'd like to get right into the music. Since we have the Singers, you know, is this what I think it is? Because I hear Singers and immediately I imagine that's prefaced by either Ray Conniff or Ray Charles.
Both.
In tribute to, is it, tell me if I'm anywhere close. Is it almost, I remember you had another closely named, the Nils Klein Trio.
Right.
Back in the 90s. Into,
exactly. So yeah. This is another trio. And rather than call it Nils Klein Trio, I was somewhat stymied as I searched the vocabulary, the vernacular, high and low, for something other than trio, unit, band, group, ensemble. And so I thought Singers was a sort of humorous, if slightly arch, generic term for a band collected together. And then we called the first record Instrumentals. So I thought that kind of explained it.
That's very cool, and it's very, very in deference to the trio, which had a terrific life of its own.
Yeah, I wanted to honor that as a separate band because that was, well, now this group's been together longer, but that was an almost 8-year run with that group with Michael Preussner and Bob Mayer. Original bass player was Mark London Sims, but Bob Mayer did most of those years on the Fender bass.
Beautiful work with him. A Sudden Interest is the one I tried to I did transcribe, and I thought, come on.
I can't believe it. I never even wrote the guitar part out myself. I actually kind of blew it back in those days, not writing out all my guitar parts because my memory's not what it once was, I'll tell you.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? I might not have immediately guessed that you were a big fan of legendary guitarist Jim Hall.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody could listen to Jim Hall and not be somewhat in awe of his musicality, but I think that the further you dig into his work, the more you realize what an incredibly free player he is, and how I think he's absolutely like a non-generic, non-lick kind of musician, somebody for whom the guitar, I think, is maybe still a beautiful instrument unto itself, because he uses a lot of idiomatic sounds on the guitar that a lot of jazz players sort of issue. But also from his work with Jimmy Giuffre in Los Angeles, playing some very advanced music and some very free music, to all the work that he's done in all the different groups and duos and everything else, I think that he's always forward-looking, never boring, and absolutely inspiring. So I wrote a little ditty for him actually many years ago. It's kind of an old line called Blues 2, T-O-O, and I dedicated it to him because I just thought there was something a little Hallish about the writing. Certainly there won't be much Hallish about the guitar playing, but love and respect to Jim Hall.
I would love to hear you guys play Blues 2 with drummer Scott Amendola, bassist Devin Hoff, and we have a guest keyboardist today as well. Yuka Honda is going to be playing with you a little bit later.
She'll come up a little later.
Let's hear Blues 2. For a tune like that, and do you shape it in the studio, or how do you, because I imagine it probably evolves over time, how do you
well, that piece is one of the few pieces I've written that probably could actually be called a jazz piece, so it's really just a line, and then what happens after that is pretty much absolute freedom. I have given guidelines to this piece, but I think we don't really follow them too well. The guidelines were to reference in some way what I would call the cool school of the 50s at its, I think, most avant-garde, which is to say some of the stuff that Shelly Manne and Jimmy Giuffre and Shorty Rogers and people were doing along with Jim Hall. And I think they were trying to break up a lot of things, a lot of patterns that were associated with the bop movement maybe and whatnot. And trying to borrow from, I think, what was going on in contemporary composed music to a certain extent, concert music, so-called. So we do that in our own way, but at this point, the piece has been around for a while, and we just play it live, and the version on the record is exactly the way we would play it live as far as the approach.
What I love also is that it's this piano-less. There's just, you got the melody, you got the bass, you got the drums, and it's just, reminds me of the, you know, the Jerry Mulligan, Chet Baker, or the Ornette stuff with Don Cherry.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, just, there's, you know, guess what the harmony is. It's like a connect the dots picture, and it's And the lines are really, really beautiful. And I mean, again, you're adapting to every ensemble you're in, and not many people are born with that gift, that listening kind of skill. So I want to ask, did you have a good-natured mentor who taught you how to musically fit in with all these varied ensembles?
Not really. I think that's my personality. I learned a lot about music from a man named Eric Von Essen, who was kind of my musical partner for many, many years, I guess almost 17 years or something. He's no longer alive, but playing Eric's music, and he was a very accomplished guitarist, not just a contrabassist and pianist and chromatic harmonica player, but played some good guitar, and he showed me a lot on the guitar.
You know, there's a tune of yours that uses some really, really beautiful chords, the kind that I did hear with that that group, the quartet music of Eric Van Essen. There's a tune called You Noticed.
Ah.
It's got that beautiful bass solo and those glorious chords in the beginning. And just I would love to hear you guys play that one.
Okay, we should bring out our special guest, Yuka Honda, to play some piano on this, because now that we've been playing pianoless and charmed you with our pianoless sound, perhaps we have to now add piano to confound and disappoint you.
Oh, yes. This is
except that Yuka won't disappoint you.
Never. These are the Nels Klein Singers with special guest keyboardist Ms. Yuka Honda.
The full Piano Jazz broadcast. Tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.